What's up, guys? It's your boy Fisher Rico. On this week's episode of the Self-Improved Podcast, we're joined by one of our favorites, Kayla Catt, and this is another tornado episode. It's your boy, Official Rico, and
J.O. Stacks,
and
Kayla Catt.
Let's get into the conversation. So if you don't know what tornado topic is, it's a new thing that was made up off the cuff where we just randomly pick subjects out of a bowl and we have 5 minutes to talk about it all together. Talk about that one topic. We're going to pick twice each, so that's six topics. And then we're going to go on about our business with the rest of the episode.
So to all our viewers, think about this. Usually, you get one topic. This episode, you're getting six. So you're welcome. So let's do this. I'm pumped. I'm kind of scared you. Okay?
No, I'm good. Are you fine? Who's going to pick it out first?
I guess you should. The special guest.
You're the special guest.
Yes. Okay. This one just popped out to me. Parents dating with kids. I feel like I was talking about this the other day.
Oh, actually, yeah, I was in the room. Because
it was me, and it was like all of us. So like you were sitting at the table.
I was sitting right here.
Right. We were watching.
There was someone else who was over here who was just joining in with us. I forgot her name.
Oh, right. Alex's sister. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if we're talking about people who have children dating, I'm all for that. If you have a child, that shouldn't exclude you from the dating world. You should definitely be looking for someone who will make a good mate and a good husband and or wife slash father figure or mother figure for the child. Personally, I would not date anyone who has children because that's just not my path. But I think it is a good thing, and people just need to keep in mind that when you're dating with children, you're not dating just for yourself.
Ever seen the show Married with Kids?
Yeah.
Wow, I'd never seen that before.
No, it used to come out on Nickelodeon at like late at night.
Marry with Kids?
Yeah.
Why does it sound like something naughty?
It wasn't. It was one of the most not naughty like shows on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. It's actually good that you picked this one first, because we actually had a good discussion about this, because one of my previous relationships, my girlfriend had a child. Basically, half of her life, I was the father figure in her life. It's definitely a difficult thing when it comes to breakups. Because you get so attached to the child, that becomes basically your child.
Did you linger with the child a little bit after the relationship was over, just to kind of like do a smooth transition?
It was, yes. We had to kind of, it kind of just eased its way out. But it was tough at times. That was actually the hardest part of the breakup for me personally. Would I do it again? I'm a little bit more mature now. It's been a couple of years from now, so it's... I would probably do it again. The circumstances would have to be a little bit different.
So would you do anything different, or would you just date a person who was more like on the same level with you?
That's a tough question. Again, the child was very young at that time as well. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe, okay. I don't know if it might be a little bit easier with an older child.
I think it actually might. It's definitely more easy when the other parent is involved. Me personally, my take on it is that at some point, my need and the child's needs are going to cross paths. And I'm not a patient woman. I don't like waiting for anything or anybody. I want to be the number one in your life. And with a child, you're always number two. So maybe that makes me kind of selfish, but that is my stance on it.
I think Lariko here is the perfect person to talk about this, because you always talk about your mom's comments to your stepdad there, right? About had to marry the children or something like that?
Yeah, and I remember bringing this up in the conversation we were having about this subject the other day, and I said exactly that. But for me, I definitely get it, because you cannot be in a relationship with me if my child don't like you, whether it's male or female. If my child don't like you, I can't bring you around my child. And that's kind of a goal that I'm having. I'm not going to just bring some random person around my child every time I decide to have sex. Like, I'm not going to do that. So if I bring you around my child needs to be feeling secured and feeling safe. And so I definitely get and understand and agree to that term, that if you're going to marry me, you have to marry my kids. So with me getting involved into a relationship with somebody that has kids, I think I have a very mature mind, and I think I could take that. But would I want to continue to do it over and over? That's definitely a hard no. Will I do it? Yes. Will I do it again? Probably not.
I think the tough thing about this conversation is none of us actually have kids. It'd be nice to have someone in on the conversation who does have a child, because that's a totally different dynamic, because right. there are people this, at the end of the day, just like us, they just so happen to have had a kid.
What was the movie called? Switch, right? The Switch? Oh, that we were watching that kind of sparked this conversation?
Yeah. Is that the one with Lindsay Lohan?
No, not at all. That's Parent Trap.
Okay.
I think you're thinking about Freaky Friday?
No. No. Oh, probably.
For the Switch? But it was called The Switch, where it was it was actually
Jennifer Aniston and...
Oh, yes. Actually, I really liked him. Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
Wow. I actually really liked
him. I'm sorry. I blanked for a second. But yeah, Jason Bateman. And he switched the sperms. Mm-hmm. And she had like an... What's the word? What type of baby was that? Like inseminated?
Right.
Artificially inseminated baby.
I don't like it. I don't like the 5 minutes.
I mean, but that's the beauty of this. It's on to the next subject. So, JL, you're up.
Okay. Glasses and hats.
My specialty.
I really don't know where to go with this. It's a very broad statement. If you want to take over, go ahead.
I know people who are visually challenged sometimes find it offensive when people do glasses for fashion.
Really?
Yes. It's almost like mocking them. It's like taking a walking stick down the street for fun. As if you were blind.
So it's like, you know, when they say they would appropriate black culture when, like, white people get cornrows?
Right, that's cultural appropriation. But no, it's not really the same. But I feel like that's one direction we can go with this. I mean, personally, if some people wear glasses, that's fine. I know people with dark glasses inside maybe be frowned upon.
Fun fact, when I moved out to L.A., I started my trying new looks. I was wearing those glasses for a while. Did it for a month, and I was like, eh.
Oh, so you were wearing glasses for fashion?
Yes.
And did you feel like they really enhanced your look or got you like extra phone numbers or something?
I was just trying something new. I was in a new city trying something new. So I was like, oh, we'll try it out. And then I was like, and actually I lost them. So it wasn't even that. I gave up on it. I just lost the glasses.
I've personally been attracted to someone who wore glasses because I like that nerdy look in a guy. And when I found out they were really for fashion, I was a little turned off.
Damn.
Well, I get that because you're attracted to that. And then when it comes out that, oh, wait, it was just fashion. I don't really need them. It kind of... It was more like you over.
Somebody taking a wig off. You know, it was like, it's very superficial.
Actually, yeah, okay.
I mean,
I get that. No.
Hats, I would judge a person for a certain kind of hat. I mean, like when you're looking to date someone, I'm judging you from like your haircut to your ringtone.
A hat, whatever hat you wear is actually a big thing to do with your personality.
Right. You can really? Do the ball cap, you can do like a fedora.
Like, well, exactly. I do a lot of snapbacks and fitted, like, caps. That's just my...
That's the only thing I do.
That's literally my style. That's my fashion. Like, you see me with a hat on and glasses. If you look at my bio for the podcast bio, it says... Well, I don't know if it's in here, but in my book bio, it's like, you can find him always in a hat and glasses. Because that's just my thing. Though I do have prescribed glasses, because I do need them to see sometimes. I probably should wear them more, but I don't. Oops. Okay. But that's just my style.
Are you guys turned off by women or men who wear glasses?
No, I kind of like that. I'm attracted to guys and women.
You know, you have the librarian that takes your glasses off and lets their hair down. Like,
yeah, like, no, that turns
me
off.
I like the other way. I like a nerdy guy or a guy who just looks like he has a book always up to his face or he's like super intelligent. Not to say also, that glasses mean you're smart because
I think that Kaden G also likes that as well. Yeah, so if you're single out there and you're a nerdy guy, you should definitely submit. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, she's married. Never mind.
She's newlywed. Wow.
Never mind. She's married. Newlywed. Congratulations, Katie.
False.
We're keeping that in.
No, I like hats and glasses, and I love a man, even a woman. I can appreciate a woman who can, like, accentuate their style every once in a while, kind of jazz it up a little bit. I mean, a sexy pair of sunglasses can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it all comes down to personality, and sometimes that's just their look.
And I do fashion.
You know, some people, hat and glasses does not look good at all. Right. And some people, they just rock it all the time because that's just their look.
Yeah, exactly.
So then it just depends on the person.
How about a hat to hide baldness? Like, do you feel like, what's his name?
That's a good
question. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Bart
yeah.
Simpson?
No, the alien.
Oh. Wow. I was thinking about, what is his name?
Donald Trump.
No.
In Her House?
It's, it's the entertainer. He always has a hat on. Always.
There's
probably some.
Yeah.
He sings a song, Lazy Love. Said, no?
That was really good, but no.
I'm like totally lost for his name right now.
You said Lazy Love?
Yes, it's a song.
Neo.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Neo was hiding baldness? Or yeah. He hides his baldness?
I mean, really? I don't know if he was hiding it, but people were always like, whoa, when is the thing off? It was like, it totally added like a different look, and it almost made it seem like he was hiding the fact that he was bald. So do you think a person who is balding should be wearing hats to like cover that up?
Okay, that's more deception? Like that wig thing. That's more like the wig, taking off the wig. And it's like, whoop, that's not your hair.
He wanted to figure out his name.
But the thing with that is you bring in someone, they see you visually call, you know, a spade a spade. When you're balding, it's not that appealing.
Right.
Exactly. So you got to bring them in. They figure out your personality. Then they can like you. Then you take the hat off.
I mean, that's kind of what they say about like telling, you know, that you have kids on like the fourth date.
Wow. 5 minutes went fast.
Did it? I mean, that was a good topic.
It was a broad one
that went into a...
What made you write that?
I don't know. I was just thinking about me at that moment, so I just wrote it down and put it in.
Clearly.
Thank you for taking over, Ray, because, like, this is so broad, I don't even know where to start with this one, so thank you.
You know, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I'm getting it.
All right. So, this topic is exercise.
Okay.
Speaking of exercise, what time are we going to Runyon in the morning?
I thought we're not now.
Runyon.
Oh, are we not
going to But didn't you just say we're going to try and go to BET Experience?
I thought we still were going to go to Runyon.
Oh, there's miscommunication all around here.
Miscommunication all around.
This podcast is in shambles right now.
Okay, so.
I mean, okay.
I am on an exercise journey right now, or I guess you can say a weight loss journey right now, and I'm going to try some water sports just to get my body nice, right, and tight.
Nice.
Right.
What kind of exercises do you guys do to stay in shape?
I definitely love running. I love running. Like, the other day, I went running, and I ran 10 miles because I didn't want to stop running.
Wow.
Yeah, that it's crazy, but I came in, I remember coming in the house and saying, I really understood what Forrest Gump meant. By the way, did you know that our producer and our production manager have not seen that movie,
Forrest Gump? I did not know that. And
I just thought that should be put out there.
I'm feeling a little weird, because I got winded playing basketball the other day, and... That
chip
mouse. Wow.
I mean,
a lot of steps.
But it's different for me because I'm a dancer. I do all of this stuff, so I'm consistently trying to keep a certain size, or I'm trying to keep a certain weight. Trying to keep it right and tight, actually. But I love running, so that's one of my passions when it first comes to exercise. And then we went to Runyon together, and that was, like, really fun for me. I mean, I've done it before, but it was, like, not... like how it was, you know what I mean? So when it comes down to exercising, that's probably the first thing that I would do. I would be on a treadmill all day at a gym before going lift weights.
How about you, JL? What do you do? I feel like you're the kind of guy who does like everything, like rock climbing, a little
bit. That's the biggest thing. I've learned to just doing a little bit every day. It doesn't really matter as long as you're getting your body moving. One of my biggest things, I walk every single day. That's been, like, the things that's, like, kept me sane and in shape in L.A. here is that I walk every single day. I get at least 10,000 steps a day.
Wow. I'm feeling, like, really underaccomplished, but I
Why?
Like to know you guys' numbers. Well, I was in the weight loss game. Like I told you guys a few times, I did 45 minutes every morning before I went to work. And then, of course, just showered and all that good stuff.
Right.
And I was losing 3 pounds a week. But since I moved out to LA, I've been more like in survival mode. So I'm actually really excited to get back into it, but I'm a little afraid that I won't like it at all.
Here's a question for you. Would you date a guy that was super, super, super freaking buff?
Super buff, like he can't reach his back because his muscles are so big? No. But if he can pick me up, yes.
Well, I get the pick you up part.
I mean, so super buff, I mean, just too much of anything is...
Not Shia LaBeouf.
Is bad, right? So you don't want someone who's just like, he can't fit in my little Dodge Neon. Because, I mean, that would be no fun. And if you're going to be that buff, you're probably going to spend a great deal of time at the gym, like all the time. So
yeah.
Even that would be like, a lot of commitment, and I feel like it would take away from maybe more important things. So no, I would not date someone who's like super buff and all about it, but I do want someone who's in shape. I've actually only dated skinny men, like no one over 150 ever.
Wow.
And I don't know why, because I'm like the total opposite of that.
So, I mean, I definitely...
Well, they say opposites attract, right?
Opposites attack.
Ooh, I've never heard that.
It's very true. So they do attract, but for the most part, they attack. There's a reason why you usually surround yourself with like-minded people. Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah. Good call. I just want to say, too, there's this misconception when it comes to exercise that you have to go, say, into the gym for an hour and, like, push out, you know, so many reps and all that. Mm-hmm. Again, it's all about doing small things consistently. If you just do 10 to 15 minutes, like for me, so if you can go walk, just go for a walk downtown. That's your exercise for the day. If you do 10 to 15 push-ups here or there, it all adds up. You don't have to go in there and just do like a hard, physically bearing exercise or workout. It could be those small things that really add up in the end.
I'm just looking forward to when I like it again, because I remember a time when I hated going. I actually went into the gym fully, like changed my clothes and everything, and had convinced myself to go home because it was too many people there. I was used to going when nobody was there. Everybody was at work. And that particular day was like more than people I was used to. So I was about to go home, and then I had to convince myself, like, that's the reason why you're here, is because you're self-conscious about your body. So I'm looking forward to the point where I get back there, where I'm super confident and the weight is coming off, and I'm not so much on the scale, but more like just feeling that in my body and enjoying the process of losing weight. Because after a while, you kind of get addicted to it.
Yeah,
sure. That's true.
You want to feel that burn after you exercise, and we all know, you know, exercise is like 90% diet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know. So yeah, that's good.
That was a good combo.
Yeah.
Your topic.
Oh, it is my topic. Okay, I want to get a good one.
Oh. So this one.
Like, mix it up now. Yeah, put it back in there.
Cut off.
Done for the day.
Oh wow, this is a good one. Coming out.
Ooh.
Phew. I am heterosexual, so never had to come out. But you know what? I did have a lot of homosexual friends, and I felt like telling my family that they, like, that my friend was homosexual, and almost telling them, like, how, not really how to deal with it, but just, like, don't be rude, don't be disrespectful. So I didn't have to come out, but I felt like bringing my friends into my family, like, environment, I had to, like, kind of ease into it just so that I wouldn't, like, they wouldn't get hurt by something insensitive my family said.
Yeah.
How about you, J.O.?
As another heterosexual, I haven't had to deal with that either. And frankly, it's actually, I'm the worst person to talk about this topic, because I've never had a friend that has to come, like, had to come out. I have gay friends, so I've met them after they came out, right? So I really don't know what to say on this topic. All the power to the people who are in the closet or are about to come out. I wish them the best. That's all I can really say about that. But I think we have one person on this panel that might be in the best position to take up 4 minutes of the time.
I have no idea about this topic.
Coming out of the closet?
I just say be you. No, I'm kidding. First, happy Pride Month. We're recording this now. May not be coming out in June, of course, but for anybody that loves anything or anybody, happy Pride Month, because Pride isn't just about the gay community or the LGBTQIA plus community. It's about you loving who you love.
They've added
coming. I mean, they did. It expands. I don't agree with it, but whatever. But coming out, one, is hard. So if you came out, congratulations. You're brave. You are important. You deserve to be free. You deserve to be who you are without anybody judging you or feeling afraid. But also, coming out to parents is a very hard thing to do, but also an easy thing to do. Some parents just want you to tell them because they already know. But then there's others that are very, very conservative, that if you tell them, you're out of the house immediately. So
shunned from the family kind of thing.
Definitely. Definitely. That happens so much. Even like 15-year-olds, they get kicked out if they go and tell their parents that they're gay. One of my friends, he's in this group called the Try Guys. Everybody know them on...
Say it again.
Try Guys.
What does that mean?
Yeah, they're
they were
YouTubers.
From, they started in
Buffy. Oh, it's just a name.
Right. Yeah, that's no. Okay. They're
they try stuff.
Yeah, that's their YouTube name. But one of the guys, his name is Eugene. He just did a music video coming out, and it wasn't any worse. It was just dancing and him changing costumes and stuff of that nature. And I thought it was one of the most perfect ways to come out, because a lot of times people now come out or put come out stories online to get the attention. They take away the intimacy of it. They take away the honesty and the beautiful part of what coming out is, and they monetize it, which I hate. I'm just going to be blunt and say it, because I feel like, again, if you come out, it takes balls for you to come out and for you to be who you are. But first, I want to tell you, if you are not in a place where you can live by yourself, afford to pay your bills, don't just yet. I know you want to, but don't. But if you are, if you're grown, if you're out of the house, find freedom in yourself. Take that time with yourself. First, free yourself by telling yourself that you are who you are. But then also free yourself around other people. Especially in 2019, it's important that you accept yourself before other people accept you. That's just in general, whether you are gay, straight, bisexual, lesbian, transgender, whatever you are, you have to accept yourself before anybody else accepts you. RuPaul says it always at the end of every show, how the hell are you going to love somebody else if you can't love yourself? That's just number one. That's one of the biggest rules with coming out. For you to find that braveness and that boldness inside of you, you have to love yourself. You have to realize that's who you are. There are so many other conversations that comes with it, but coming out is one of the hardest but easiest things to do.
I think in 2019, you shouldn't even have to come out anymore.
I feel like you shouldn't, but there's still people that still a thing. You have to.
It is, you know, yeah, there's so many people that are so stuck in their ways. But again, it's you are who you are. Love exactly. Who you want to love. You shouldn't have to make a big announcement. You just live your f***ing life.
Exactly. And for the people that wants a straight parade,
okay,
f*** off.
I seen something that said we don't have straight parades for the same reason why Britain doesn't have an Independence Day.
Yes.
Exactly. Jail?
That was mine? Or?
I just picked that one.
Yeah, so then.
Oh.
What the f*** was that?
I don't know, but that's crazy.
This ghost is heterosexual.
Yeah.
Why does it sound like...
One straight pride.
He wants a straight pride.
Well, I think it's because it was all stacked. Just, there's too much stuff on there, probably.
Yeah. We're not gonna blame it on paranormal activity.
It probably was. You never know.
No, it wasn't.
It was like a bowl. Yeah, I'm done.
Why do you set the bowl back on the counter? It's trash now.
I think that might be the new intro.
I've seen a roach.
Whoa.
You did right now?
It was on the floor.
It's the roach who did it.
The roach did it, probably. He was trying to escape or jump down, and it took everything with it.
I'm just saying, when I picked it up off the ground, it was a roach.
Wow.
Does that say millennials?
It does. So this episode, or this episode, this topic is millennials.
We're awesome.
And I guess I'm like right on the cusp of a millennial. I'm right between a millennial and a Gen X.
So no, you're definitely a millennial.
Okay, well, I was going to say you damn kids definitely. These days, but I guess I'm one of you, so.
No, I feel like, well.
You might be in between.
The judge from the company that you keep, you're honorary.
Nice.
You're an honorary
thank
millennial.
You.
But you still
thank
can't
you
say
so
these
thank
kids
so
these days.
Damn.
I feel like we are the boldest, most arrogant, bravest, like, generation. Like, you say what you want about millennials, but we are making our way. There's never been more millionaires than there's been right now. People are making
21.
Right. They're making their way, and they're finding new creative ways to do things.
Yeah.
We're creating all these different products and moving them all across the globe.
Technology.
So, right. I mean, baby boomers were okay.
And even talking about...
I think we're pushing it further ahead.
Exactly. The internet famous people. I have a friend... She just turned 22, but last year at 21, she brought her own house.
You have a lot of friends.
I do. It's really cool, but also not, because I really don't like people. Anyway, but also Chance the Rapper, at the age of 22, he got a humanitarian award.
See?
But also, here's to this generation of millennials being the test hamsters.
Right, we're not the rat race anymore.
Right.
We're making our, everybody has their own lane. There's room for everyone. At first it was just, well, way back it was like, you know, either you went to college or you just worked a desk job or you mopped a floor or, you know what I mean? You had a bunch of babies and you didn't have any education.
You had that 9 to 5.
Now we really can do it all and we really are doing it all. So people would like to highlight all the bad stuff about millennials, saying that, like I just said, we're arrogant and we're kind of pushy and we don't really like to take no. We're very impatient. And people think
we can be
a
bad
thing, but I personally think it's one of those driving forces for us.
Yeah,
we're impatient, so we make our money faster.
Fast, yeah. And you find new ways and new opportunities too.
Right.
But I have to play the devil's advocate. I believe I may have talked about this on the last episode, which is me not having my phone. I've been basically unplugged from social media and without a phone for a week now of the recording of this podcast. And one thing about millennials is it's hard for us to put down our phones, our technology. It seems like we can't seem to function without it. We don't really know what to do. Whether I believe that or not, that's what everybody else thinks, especially the baby boomers and other generations. They think that we gotta have our phones. We have it the easiest way because we can just say something and the phone looks it up for us and we don't memorize telephone numbers and we don't have to go and ride bikes in front of people's houses and go and hang out with
them. Your phone is not just a way to communicate with people. It's your calendar.
Literally.
It can be like it's your calculator.
It's your work.
It's your schedule. It's your social media platforms where you communicate about business.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily a terrible thing. All we've done is putting all your eggs in one basket, but all you've done is really put all this stuff in one place that makes it, you have to look at it.
Exactly.
Because that person wouldn't go 10 hours without looking at a clock.
I mean, except for the people that is just on Instagram all day for no reason, but every time they pick it up, they just have to go straight to Instagram. Now, those are different from people that uses their phones or their mobile devices for work.
Right, and networking and all
that stuff. Yeah, and because that's where I was going to go with this, which is I use my phone. I just realized this week, I use my phone for business a lot. I've learned that I can't really take care of business the way I want to because I don't have my phone. You know what I mean? So it's a kind of gray area. We always talk about that gray area, but this generation, kudos to you for stepping up to become who you want to be, to being who you want to be, to going after your dream, and also not being that in that tradition where you feel like you're stuck and just because your mom went to this college, you have to go to this college, or your dad went to this, you know, college or did this job, you have to do it. But also going after what you want to do. I don't want to go and sit in Yale and be a lawyer. I am now in Los Angeles at a trade school learning acting or training for acting.
So I just want to say before time runs out here is that it's an undisputed fact this is the smartest generation in the world.
Definitely.
That we've ever seen. It's undisputed for the fact because sure there's a double-edged sword when it comes to technology. You know, it goes both ways. There's a lot of bad habits that come out of it. But the access to information is undisputed. There's not been a single generation that's had this level of access.
Yeah.
So
it's beautiful.
It is, very much.
All right.
On to the next one.
Is it me?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, hi.
The final topic.
Yeah. This is the final topic.
Get a good one out of there.
Let's make it a good one. Ooh, this has a lot of words.
That's a long one.
Okay, good. That's what she said.
Yeah. She's even saying it without saying it.
Exactly.
No problem.
Ooh. Nice.
I tried to read it backwards. I'm like, I can't even.
This is a good one.
You
ready?
Should be announcing, like, you should be showing us the time. Single or something, so we know. Hold the phone up.
What?
He takes so long. You're like, are you guys ready for it?
Well, this is a really good one. Boy. This one is worth that taking long.
You don't say it.
Hey, this is my podcast. Ooh. Wow.
This is the community podcast. I'll be quiet.
You're right. This is the community podcast.
Go ahead.
This next topic is fake it until you make it or get called out. It can be kind of confusing, but also we was just talking about the faking it until you make it.
I think you should call yourself out sometimes. I will tell you that I have no idea what I'm doing, but I am totally willing to learn. I will dress the part. I will make it work. So I think fake it until you make it, but don't be afraid to call yourself out if you don't know mm-hmm. what you're doing.
You should just definitely go and listen to that episode.
Okay.
Yeah, I think fake it till you make it gets misconstrued sometimes.
It does.
I think, you know, when people say that, it's like you have to be fake to do, you know, fake what you're doing until you actually are doing it. I take it as just be bold and do things. If you, you know, have a, like, say with this podcast, if you've never done a podcast before, just fucking do it.
Like Nike.
It'd be considered, you know, faking it till you make it.
Yeah.
But no, it's just being bold in your decision, just doing it.
I always thought fake it till you make it was saying, hey, if you want this job, you dress like you want that job. You dress like you're going to that job.
Exactly. Yeah.
You talk like that's where you work.
I already have this.
Right. You put it out there. So if I'm going to an interview, I don't say like, oh, I'm going to an interview and I hope they give me the job. I'm saying I'm going to get this job today. Not because, you know, I'm just being arrogant, but because I want it.
I have the confidence.
I'm going to dress and act and talk like it's my job already because I want it.
And even in the acting field, when we go in, and I know for me, when I go into an audition, even if I don't know the very specific role, I go by what the sides say, and I try to dress the part, what I think that character might do, exactly. because I want that part. So I definitely get what you mean by dressing up to get the job or dressing up to get that part. I think it's really important to do that. But also, there is, just like to anything, there's a pros and cons to it. I
was going to say, that kind of piggybacks off our last conversation with the millennials here.
Yeah.
Is social media has definitely amplified it. Because it used to mean, again, as I just said, you know, fake it till you make it, just be bold and make a decision and do it.
Yeah.
Now, with social media, say we'll go with Instagram, for example. I saw this article the other day that this Instagram influencer, it came out that, you know, I forget how many followers he had, but he's living this lavish life, quote unquote. And it ended up coming out that he was living this life off his mother, who was working two jobs to fund it.
Wow.
So he was faking it, like actually faking it to make it, and then he got called out. So again, I think social media has definitely amplified it and actually construed it into a whole different conversation to what it was originally meant to be.
Right, and I think it was Romeo or Bow Wow, one of those, they posted a picture of them.
Bow Wow.
Yeah.
On the plane. Yeah.
Posted a picture on the plane, and social media looked it up and found out that he took that off of a website and was like, what did he say?
He was on like a regular Delta flight or something.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like living the life or something like that. And
what makes me so mad about that is that it was so unnecessary. Like, you put yourself in a position to be called.
It was. Like, you could have just been like,
nobody cares how you
about to fly somewhere. Whoa.
Or you could have just kept it to yourself.
There's this one guy.
Yeah, you could have.
One guy from the city I'm from, and very bad reputation to begin with. And he got caught one time. He literally stole someone's picture of a stack of money off their Instagram profile and posted it on his as his own. And he's always trying to flaunt, like, he's this big hustler, blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
And it's like, are you that stupid?
Yeah.
Like, you really just gonna take someone else's photo and say that's yours?
Right, especially like, especially off of their social media.
It used to be easier.
Especially in a small city
around
from.
Now,
like, take it from.
It's easier to get called out.
Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Right? That name is hilarious.
But the good thing is people like that need to get caught and exposed.
No, I believe they should. And I think that's what he gets for lying when you didn't even have to lie in the first place. You didn't even have to tell anybody in the first place.
But you said it. And so now that's what you get. Shoes and they're trying to walk into something. I feel like the person who tried to call that person out, like, well, you're acting like you already got the job, but you don't have it yet. So you need to calm down. Like, who are you to call that person out? And I don't feel like that is calling someone out.
But that even if you
negativity,
if you say it or take it from that angle, we all already know or have thought about what we would do if we won the dang on Powerball. If we won that something $1 million, we all have made this plan of what we're gonna do. Mm-hmm. It's just the same as that. You feel like you know what you want to do with whatever you're going after. So why don't you act like you already did it? And be done with it.
Perfect. DoSomething.org is mobilizing young people in every U.S. area code and in 131 countries. Sign up for a volunteer, social change, or civic action campaign to make a real-world impact on a cause you care about. You'll team up with the Do Something members who have
clothed half of America's homeless youth, cleaned up 3.7 million cigarette butts, run the largest youth-led sports equipment drive, and more. You've got the power and the passion to transform your community. We'll help you get it done.
It was JL that helped. He counted me down in 3-4 seconds.
She was the phone.
It's
not
as fun.
Oh. To hold it up?
Yeah, because it's...
I don't know, since we're in a good flow, should we do one last bonus?
Let's just go ahead and do a bonus.
Let me do it.
We can chop it.
Would you like to do it?
Kaden G's going to pick the last topic of this
episode.
Yeah,
I want to do it.
Kaden G, what's the topic?
The topic is skinny jeans.
Ooh. skinny jeans.
Do you?
Actually, this is the perfect conversation to have. Are we at timing? We're not timing. Okay.
Why is it perfect?
Good, yeah, why?
Oh, no.
I mean, we've been talking about millennials, so
it
that
comes down
thing.
To ALX. Is that how we say it?
Yeah.
So he was talking about the other day how when it comes to the gay culture, how, yes, the straight community is has stole skinny jeans
from
the gay community.
People. Yeah.
And I thought about it. I was like, is skinny jeans an exclusively gay thing?
It was.
I thought it was a skater thing. And then we all stole it.
Well, I can agree with that. It was a scary thing. Anytime I see skaters, they didn't have on anything baggy because one, they wasn't stupid. Mm-hmm. It was skinny jeans and Vans. That was their thing. And then the gay community took it over.
I love me.
And then it went from the gay community to straight people. And then,
but Mike, actually, I was thinking about this on the way to the BT experience today. It was like, is it that more predominantly in the black community? Because, like, you know, the black community is more like, you know, you're thug, you wear really baggy shit.
Yeah.
So it would be the gay black community that's taking in the skinny jeans? Is that what it is?
Well, no, I know a lot of Hispanics and a lot of white boys that wear them. And you see them skinny jeans now prominently in the gay community. I would not say that.
Really?
I won't say that people or straight people or whatever stole it from the gay community because it wasn't the gay community to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I think it was more like, if a guy who was gay was wearing the skinny jeans, it was like, yeah, he's trying to look like a girl. And then when everyone started wearing them, like the straight guys started wearing them, and it came more mainstream. Like, you know, see Lil Wayne in skinny jeans now. And he even says, like,
he
just
still
like
wears
a skater.
Jeans?
I'm not sure about it now, but it was more like it became more accepted for your balls.
Oh, I was like, that man
be,
is like
smashed
50.
Up in your pants if a straight guy was doing it.
Think about in the 80s with the like whole heavy metal movement.
Yeah.
They wore skinny
leather pants all the time. Not only that,
they weren't
but
gay. They banged a lot of women.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
A lot of heterosexual
like, I just
sex.
Was watching Jimmy. I was watching Jimmy Fallon, and a guy that was he performed in like platforms and skinny jeans, well, skinny pants, and a really gay outfit. But he has a wife and everything, and he's not gay at all.
I actually saw
and that
a
was
meme
just an outfit
with Pee Wee Herman, and it said, "You guys should make fun of him. Now your son's wearing this to prom." That tight.
Yes, oh. the tight with the
right,
ankles.
With the skinny.
Above the ankles,
it's like
the skinny.
Ankle jeans.
But from what I've seen, being in fashion, it's more attractive. It's.
Skinny jeans?
No, not skinny jeans, but if you talk about the suit side of things and the becoming above the ankles and it's mm-hmm. fitted to you, and I think there's something, there's totally different from being fitted to you and being skinny. Skinny,
right.
I can see your veins in your legs. I can check your blood
True.
Pressure.
Didn't we see, was it three of us after running last weekend?
Well, yeah.
On the train, we saw the guy with really skinny jeans. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, we saw that, and I was like, dude, his jeans is
like
literally taking his blood pressure.
Unhealthy.
It was unhealthy. Like, he might have some blood clots
or some
shit.
You think it's getting out of control?
It is. It's getting out of control.
Probably bad for the sperm?
Probably. Honestly, not
actually,
to bring that up.
I apparently
probably.
Heard that.
You can't wear boxers. You gotta wear some briefs, right? With those skinny jeans.
I think at that point, it doesn't really matter what you
it
wear.
It doesn't, because it's already
okay.
going...
It's already
suffocated
tight,
anyway,
yeah, you know.
But I would have to say, in the gay community, for guys that wear skinny jeans, from the gay community point of view, if you're wearing skinny jeans, I feel like you want me to see what you have.
Really?
Whether it's your penis or whether it's your butt, you want me to see.
Do you feel the same way about women wearing it? You want them?
Well, I guess
you want to accentuate your.
I feel like
for women like that, they want to cinch their waist. They want to pull in everything so it can show off their best assets.
But I guess is that. Where it came from is because obviously skinny jeans are huge in women's fashion. Like, every woman has skinny jeans. Like, that's all they wear. Is that because that's why the gays have pulled it from there? Is because women are doing it, so like the feminine gays
are
like,
I definitely agree with that statement.
So that's probably
I believe that.
That wasn't a statement, it was more of a question.
Honestly, well, no, but I say so. Yes to that. Okay. But I say yes to it. Why don't you?
I feel like a lot of gay people that I see, they're not wearing skinny jeans. They're doing risky stuff with fashion or mixing up a bunch of colors or doing shorts and ripped jeans. I honestly just don't see it that much.
I would have to say, being in the community, I see it a shit ton.
So my question is, when did the gays be like, hey, skinny jeans, that's us?
I don't know.
I missed that memo.
I missed that memo. I don't even wear skinny jeans like that. I have skinny jeans and I don't like to wear them. Why? Because they are super tight and they make me look way feminine than I want to appear. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I would love seeing a person with skinny jeans, because it shows off who they are or what they have. And even in the drag community, you know, you cinch your waist. You pull in everything so I can see your silhouette.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's what the skinny thing kind of comes from. You cinch it in, you pull it in, so I can see your silhouette. You ever heard that saying, like, I love the shape of a woman having like a Coke bottle or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's. I think that I could be what it is.
I had a teacher say that to me, and it was.
It was just like the people, you know, the hourglass figure, the Coke bottle figure, or the hourglass figure. Yeah.
So people got called.
Yeah.
People got called the Coke bottle.
No, my teacher said that to me.
And some people got called because of it.
I had to call some people.
You had to call some people because.
I mean, I don't think he meant anything bad about it, but it was a little weird.
Oh, it was a male teacher that said it. Oh, that definitely was weird.
Like, I don't know what you're trying to pull, Mr. Evans.
I hope that was his. Was that his name?
Yeah.
What did he teach?
English, which is my favorite class.
Yeah, you're a writer.
Yeah.
All right. If you didn't know what Kayla Cat do, she is definitely a writer. An anonymous writer, a ghost writer. That's the word. I was really.
It's the same thing.
I was it's the same thing, but I was really fishing for the actual title of that.
I might have read something that I wrote.
And you don't know
didn't
it.
See anything.
You know, I was looking at some songs, and Lady Gaga has wrote a lot of songs that are popular right now, and we like people don't know that.
I actually,
she's a songwriter.
I think
Neo
something.
Actually bringing back to Neo. Neo is, as well.
Right, they do a lot more songwriting.
And you brought it up today that All About That Bass was for Beyonce and
Meghan
Trainor.
Right, originally for Beyonce, and I think Beyonce turned it down. I'm not sure how it got into Meghan Trainor's hand, but you know what? Sometimes it works out that way.
And now you can't hear anybody else singing that song but Meghan Trainor.
Honestly, I could not put a nice spin on it because she's Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce she would. But I can't see. It's one of those things when I heard that, bring it back to Forrest Gump as well, is that I think they originally had John Travolta pegged to play Forrest Gump.
Are you serious?
Really?
Now imagine John Travolta.
Why would they do that?
I can't imagine.
That's weird.
You know the business. You have like this character, and then you're like, then you kind of siphon out
the names. And
I like when I find out.
But then, as you just said, though, it works out perfectly.
You know, Tina Turner was supposed to be Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
She was married. She was pregnant with Bobby Christina.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. That was interesting to me as well.
Could you really imagine that?
Like, no, I couldn't. Like, you know, and I was mentioning, I was laying on the bed today, and I read a post that was like, so y'all really not going to give Angela Bassett an Oscar?
Right,
when she played Biggie Mama, she's the birth of Prince of Wakanda. She's got her groove back. She's, like, all of this stuff.
Tina Turner thing.
Tina Turner, but she has yet to get an Oscar.
Wow. Well, you know they're doing.
Isn't that crazy?
I think Leo just got one, right?
Yeah,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And
just now got his.
His was like
maybe a year or two ago.
A long time coming.
Yeah, I think they just gave it to him just because, like, his performance was.
That's why I don't take any of it seriously. Watch any of these award shows because they don't give it to the people who really deserve it. And just like anything else,
and especially
like,
when it's the Academy, air quotes,
Academy.
Exactly.
No, here's the thing. That's why I've really learned. Being out here is if you look around town right now because we're coming to Emmy season, you see all the billboards
for your consideration.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
At first,
I didn't think that was a real thing.
Like this time last year, I was like, first time seeing them, like, why is this?
Why is it coming to us?
And then I understand because all the people in the Academy who vote for these awards live in the city.
But can
so
I?
They're advertising to them.
That's very true. But can I also burst the big bubble behind this award season? The people that win is the people that put more money into their campaigns. That's the only reason why they won. It's not just because
it's politics.
This is the show.
It's politics.
Or this was a great show. Or the actors was really good. Or this was really great. It was, I gave you more money for my campaign. I had up more posters. I had up more billboards. So this is why we win.
Here's the thing. So the agency I'm working for, like my boss, she's actually part of the Academy. So she is actually a voting member. So there's thousands of people in the industry from that go from high level executives to like boutique agencies.
Right.
So
but
again, it's
I
marketing.
I definitely have a teacher that is a Emmy Academy like voter. The people that have to watch all of these things to nominate or give their opinion on it. But I feel like they should go to the regular people that are watching the freaking shows, that are sitting on their couches
every day.
That's
people's choice, isn't it? There's people's choice awards.
But also people's choice awards and Academy Award winning.
People need to understand is that it makes a lot of sense because it's the Academy Award. So it's the people in the Academy voting for the best picture within the unions, right? So it makes
It makes sense. And I get that because I wouldn't want somebody that knows nothing about acting voting on.
But there's been stories
whether
too
my acting is good or
a
not.
A lot of people in the Academy, they actually just don't even they just kind of throw their vote out.
Have the right key to do something like that. I swear I can see myself doing something like that because I'm the person who can tell you how many seasons this is going to last and on the nail every time.
Well, no, okay, maybe I shouldn't have phrased it like that, but I don't want a guy coming from under a rock trying to coach me on how to act.
Right, I can see that, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I get, okay, you're using the execs and all this, these people that's, like, voting, oh, this was really good. Mm-hmm. But also, if you think about it again, it's very subjective. It's what they think
too,
is good.
Again, it's very political because then you have these people in these the Academy. It's like, well, you know, that's our show, so you should vote for this. Or, you know, and then there's, I don't want to say there's kickbacks or anything like that, but, you know, you vote for our show.
There's parties. There's payments.
You never really know. And you just have to hope that people like Angela Bassett, they do it because they love it.
They
I mean,
love
honestly,
it.
She
yeah,
does.
No,
I don't think
definitely.
She wouldn't mind the award.
Right. I don't
right.
Think
right. right.
I don't think she's sitting at home waiting for it. I think she just enjoys what she does. And if
even
calls
if
her,
she did,
she
I think
dress.
She's finally come to terms that this is not going to happen
she
until it happens.
Me as a
you know what I mean?
Who's not looking for someone to tell her that she's amazing.
No, I'm not saying that she is, but I'm just saying she's definitely, I'm
well,
pretty sure
it.
That's crossed her mind because even me as being very greenlit into acting, I've thought about, oh, can't wait that day I get my Oscar. But then I realized, I'm like, but I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I love it. That's something that I love to do. And it won't, it's not going to persuade me to do less if I don't win an Oscar.
Honestly, if I was a person who was nominated for an Oscar and it was a bunch of other people who were amazing standing next to me, I would just feel like, who are these people to say that they weren't just as amazing as I was? We're all amazing.
Yeah.
And for you to handpick who you want to win, I don't know, it just feels very wrong to me.
Very picky.
The fact
again.
That there, I feel
very
like there
biased.
Should be something where we celebrate everyone, not just like, well, this person did it the best.
Yeah, let's just celebrate all the movies that came out this year. Let's celebrate
not
all
the
shows.
Movies, but I'm saying, if you want to celebrate people,
or the
celebrate them.
Biggest box office or
don't
something like
them,
that, you know?
Right. Don't make them compete against each other when they were all phenomenal.
Right. And in their own right.
Right. I don't know. That's why I think I don't watch any of the award shows. I don't like the way it's set up.
But that's the thing, too. There's movies or even TV shows where someone hypes it up. You gotta watch this show. It's so good. And then you watch them, you're like, man, that was garbage.
I'll tell you
horrible.
Right now, I haven't
yeah.
watched the BET Awards since Chris Tucker.
But you know what I have to say?
Posted.
The BET Awards, I feel like, is the most different from all the other award show.
Is it?
Because they go based off of the actual charts for people that win. But also, remember when the BET Awards cut Drake off on his speech because he was like, F the Academy?
I think they used to be different. BET used to stand out.
Well, wasn't it the Grammys?
The Grammys, sorry.
It used to feel like...
Fuck the Grammys.
He was basically telling... No, he was basically saying in his speech, F the Grammys, and they cut him off.
I think that's how I'm feeling about the BET Awards and all the other award shows now. It's just a bit... It's a game.
It's all
about
politics.
It's about money.
Yeah.
It's about advertising.
I definitely get
his
politics.
It's like, come
now.
On. Stop it. Just,
it's
a, just stop.
It's definitely about that advertising and money that goes into it.
I think people need to just focus less on the actual results of it. And I just appreciate that everyone's there appreciating the art
right.
itself. We all did it really good this year. We made some amazing movies. We made some amazing music.
Music.
Let's all get together.
But have some performances.
Dress up, dress up, have some drinks, and celebrate it.
Honestly, right?
It shouldn't be any more like any more than that.
That's what we're
doing.
Because
even though there is,
it's beautiful.
20 winners, there's 50 losers. You know,
yeah. Right? And it's still making
and you
other people
call them a loser. That's
exactly with them winning this. You're basically telling them you're a loser. Yeah. Yours wasn't good enough, and so they're going to keep trying and they're going to keep doing it. And then maybe one day they're like, you know what? I never win anything, so I'm just going to quit.
Right? I mean, I'm really surprised that. Well, I'm not surprised Leo didn't say anything, but for so long it was just like, okay, what is this? Is this a game? Are you guys just messing with him? Like,
he's had some good performances.
He's had some amazing performances.
However, though,
yeah.
I don't think he's ever had a bad one, honestly.
Now that we're talking about this, it came into my head that it's a good thing for the actual actors and musicians because it pushes them to make their craft better. How do I become a better actor? How do I create better music? It pushes the envelope for them as well because they're like, well, shit, I didn't win. I really want that Oscar. I want to be the best. So they're going to go to that extra step. They're going to pick the perfect roles. They're going to, you know, go to that next level. So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword again. It goes both ways, but.
And I think it just comes back to me just not wanting to be in the spotlight because I would never, ever want to be put up against these other amazing writers and feeling like that one of us won and one of us lost.
Very much so. And just to kind of close out this part, I just looked up because I was thinking about Samuel Jackson and everybody knows him for his most phenomenal speech that he gave during Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction was one of the most, the speech that he gave about the revenge and all of that, everybody knows Samuel Jackson for that. And he has yet to win an Oscar. Out of all of the roles and stuff he said, he's only been nominated for that role. For Pulp Fiction.
I've seen that scene, never seen the movie.
Exactly. You've seen that scene, but never seen the movie. So by that scene alone, do you think he could have won an Oscar for that?
Honestly, I don't know how Oscar worthy it was. It was a damn good performance, though. But then again, I don't know. What's Oscar worthy? I can tell that he prepared and he put his sword.
I don't even think Cicely Tyson won an Oscar.
I'll say this. I love Samuel Jackson.
She has. I don't think so. I think she was just a nominee. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll say I love Samuel Jackson, but I don't think I've ever seen a performance that's Oscar worthy. Maybe Django, because he kind of gets into that, you know, an actual character, but all his other characters beyond that are the same dude.
Honestly, he should just get an Oscar for
Wiley Snakes
and the motherfucker. Exactly. Exactly.
Not much range.
He's doing a lot of work, but not a lot of.
Not true acting.
Yeah, I can agree to that.
That's why I love. I think Johnny Depp is probably one of the most underrated actors because there's that. But the diversity in characters he plays.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow, Edward Scissorhands, Willy Wonka. He actually gets into characters.
He does.
Samuel Jackson, again, he just plays that angry
Samuel
black
L. Jackson,
exactly.
That angry black guy that says motherfucker every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I see that. But there's other people that don't. Mm-hmm. But because you put the money in our pocket.
The stern guy.
But because you put the money in our pocket, even with Forrest Whitaker, he plays that same weird guy.
Yeah.
Okay. But if we're pointing out that though,
he got his eye fixed.
There's, yeah. He did.
He did.
Shit!
Wow.
He's probably not getting cast no more.
But no,
like he fixed it.
It's anytime you see certain actors and you see that's the only thing they're playing in every role, it's because one, they've been typecasted.
Right.
Because I see you now, mm-hmm. I can't see you in nothing else.
But you know what? I think most of Samuel Jackson's range is in his theater. He did a lot of theater work. He still does.
Right.
I think that's what if you take the time to look into that stuff, you can see a little bit of everything there. So he actually said it himself, he's more passionate about that. Film is like, okay, sure, but theater is where his heart is and where he's
started. I haven't seen him do any theater.
Most people haven't.
I would love to see him do theater. Now that I know that, I would love to see what he can do in theater.
That's a sad thing because theater is actually like a beautiful art in itself.
Yeah.
I love going to live theater.
It's
but,
totally different from on film.
But because of just how it's built, you don't have the distribution to get to the mass population.
Right.
Like movies.
Right. You can't because you can't record them. You can't put them out there unless the playwright is the one recording it.
And even if you watch the record, it's not the same.
It's not the same as being there. There's a lot of things that you don't get to see. The magic on stage happen.
I'm looking forward to in Los Angeles. I've yet to do it, but I'm super looking forward to
I can't wait to take you to some live theater. It's going to be great.
I was going
to
go see Fiddler.
Fiddler on the Roof? Oh my God, such a good
show. I actually read the plot summary and I was like, I'm really glad I didn't go see
it. Here's something you should never go and see in theater. Ready? Cats. Don't do that. Unless you take acid. Damn.
I don't like musicals.
Acid?
You gotta take acid to get
Cats. New York.
But no, it's so, like, Cats is so rambunctious and so crazy. You're gonna feel like you took acid after that,
I can't do musicals. I did Aida. That was the last thing I seen.
They came to one of the shows that was at my school, Carrie the Musical, and they said they enjoyed it and that it was some phenomenal acting. So that really made me feel good because that means my school is producing actually great actors and actresses. So that was really cool. But I understand what you're saying because musicals can be really drawn out and every word they say is a song.
Again, I'm not even a patient though I woman sing, but and nothing like breaking up a scene.
But
a song.
No, but even though I'm an actor, I sing, I dance, I act, like I do all of this that is in a musical. But sometimes that song bursting out in song,
it will trap
messes up the whole scene
because I'm interested. I want to see what's going to happen next.
Because we can be at an intensity of 10 in that scene, and then I sing, and then that drops it down to a 2.
I mean, I'm sure that's on purpose, but.
And that's the thing too is being from the agency background now is we put a lot of respect on people who come in with a theater background.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to be in a movie because you can,
but a lot of people don't.
Because when you're filming a movie. Or a film, you know, or anything like that, you have the opportunity to cut.
Yeah.
You screw up, you cut.
Start over.
When you're on stage,
you got to make that mistake and you got to keep going.
If you make that mistake, you just roll with it.
And people will actually say, like, if you were doing play acting or stage acting for 10 years and then you got a movie, people say, oh, now you made it. Even though you've been truly successful in something that is a little bit harder to actually pull off. People won't really recognize it until you're, like, on the big screen.
By the way, I just to say kudos to anybody that does musicals, anybody that's on Broadway. That's a lot of work.
It is.
I've done it. I've done so many musicals. It's a lot of work. And I loved it when I did it. But also, watching it from the back, it can throw you off as well. It can unintensify a scene. But bringing back up Carrie really quick, there was a song in Carrie called Eve was weak. That's the name of the song in it. And it intensifies the hell out of that scene, but it also depends on that actor or that actress that is doing it. So it also, whatever it is, it depends on the person that's playing it, the person that's singing it. Because if I watch what my school did, and I would watch that over and over and over and won't be taken out of a scene just because of a song. But any other time, I can watch another musical and I'm like, ah, you're singing again? You shouldn't have sung in that. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. And especially for me with an actor's mind and a director's mind and all of this, playing at one time, I'm like, good grief, you shouldn't have done that.
And also from the acting perspective, say in theater, is sometimes you're in these plays that are over a couple year span.
Yeah.
So you have to go through character development in a 1 hour span.
Yes.
As opposed to when you're doing a film, you can film, you know, your scenes for one section of this person's life.
And then 6 months later.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You have to be, because one of our clients was in a play here, saw it a couple weeks ago, and it was over a span of a year. So the characters, there was some obviously change within the play there.
Yeah, it's fierce.
We had to go from, this one actress, she did amazing. So the first part, she's very chill, but then over the years, she went through a lot of, you know, personal development, and she was so depressed by the end of it. It was amazing to see this development, which I think is so much more complex than just straight acting.
Standing in front of the camera, hearing cut, and then saying, all right, we're going to redo this in 6 months, and I need you to grow out your facial hair within. And even talking about the makeup and the clothing that goes behind it, you have to show progression and all of that. Prosthetics comes in. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff comes in to show this big, long progression. But in film, I can cut. I can edit this in post. But doing this live, I have to go back. I have to get dressed under 5.5 seconds. And then I have to get makeup on or get my makeup redone and then come back out and show you. That's why I love Fences so much. I was in the show, but I also went to go see it, and it was phenomenal because you saw this progression of such a happy couple, and then by the end it was like, oof, this is what marriage is.
If I ever did any kind of acting, I think it would be on stage, because it's, I think it's more fun.
With that being said, mm-hmm. we might as well trail off.
Yeah,
because we ranted. I don't even know how we got on that.
Now say we're gonna have to, we're gonna cut these other other parts because we're at our hour. We're good.
Threadbeast, 5 style selected items delivered to your door. Only pay for what you keep. Personalized selections on your schedule. Free shipping and returns. Choose your frequency. Data driven fashion. 25% when you buy all items, styles, jeans, tops, rompers, and jumpsuits, dresses, etc. Get your packets worth up to $250 worth of clothes. We deliver carefully curated packages of streetwear every month, all based on your style and preference. Go to threadbeast.com.
But before we go, we was talking about Angela Bassett and this girl that Ayana the Diva tweeted out. So y'all mean to tell me Angela Bassett then played Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King, Tina Turner, Betty Shabazz, Biggie Mama, then got her groove back, burned her cheating husband clothes, and gave birth to a king of Wakanda, and y'all still ain't gave Auntie no Oscar?
I say like all the biggest roles a female could black do. Actress could play.
Could play,
the
right?
Those are the most iconic.
But phenomenal.
What was everybody else doing at those times that she was doing that? Maybe they were doing some like training days or some Last King of Scotland's. I mean, maybe that's why she didn't win those particular
That's
years.
True. Exactly. Exactly. Because sometimes you might have an amazing...
Yeah, you have to. It's about timing. That's perfect.
Nail on the coffin.
Nail on the head.
Of the coffin.
Of the coffin. One of those.
We'll get it. Always. By end of the season, we'll get it.
Speaking of the end of this season, there's only a few episodes to go before the season is over.
Are you
with
okay?
J.O.
Really?
I'm watching Glee.
She's binging.
Wow.
Yeah.
What you binging on?
Oh, I think you should go and check out that episode with myself and Katie G, because your boy, J.O., he wasn't here. He was back in Canada. So.
And ironically, she's actually binging right now as we're recording this podcast. Keeping us in order, but binging.
She's doing her job. Quit binging.
Speaking of that, you guys need to wrap it up.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, shout-outs. My shout-out goes to none other than the phenomenal Angela Bassett.
She deserves that one.
I think you just deserve it, girl. And if you want to be on our podcast, let us know.
We will come to you.
I would love to have you. We will fly to you.
That would
we
be
would
amazing.
Drive to you. Any celebrities, actually. If you want to be on our podcast, let us know. YouTubers, please inbox. Shoot the message. DM. Something. We would love for you to be on this podcast. Let's talk. Let's have a chat. Even the Paul brothers. Let's talk about why you're so damn stupid. I'm sorry, you're not stupid. You're self-approved. There's a difference.
But we just want to record at your place. That's,
yeah,
that's
we definitely need to
can't
go.
Come to our
we need to record where you are. Unless you're going to rebuild our house. Oh, that would be a great payoff, right? They have the Paul brothers spend their money on us? Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be amazing.
I don't know who that is, but I mean, I would like it.
Anyway, with that being said.
Actually, my quick little shout out.
Ooh, we'll be
shout-out.
Right. No, shout
actually,
out.
Actually, ladies first.
What am I doing? Ladies first.
Okay, I want to shout out D.L. Hughley.
Oh,
your
back?
Future boss.
He did not. I sent you a message on Instagram because I am really interested in like being a part of what anything you're doing, because you're doing so much amazing work for the people, making sure that the news gets out and all these stories are heard. So I want to give you a shout out just for keeping it real and making us laugh as always.
And please hit her back up in the DMs.
Please, I will. You
for
need
love
to.
Of God.
You need to talk to her, because that's the only way she's gonna do stand up. If you talk to her first.
And I feel like we owe the world this. You are going to take care of the news / awesome side.
New generation
of comedians.
And I will
take care of the new generation / making people spit out their drink side.
Hmm.
I'm funny.
J.O.?
Well, this weekend in L.A. is the BET Awards. And early this evening, we went to the BET Experience. So I just want to give a big shout out to them. They are doing so much. It's perfectly
phenomenal
for the culture itself. You know, it was just a beautiful event. And I can't
Auntie
wait.
Auntie took us.
Yes. Auntie, and she had a good day. Let's
she had a great day.
But it was just great. Just the small aesthetics that they've done. Like, there's so much art that went into it. Just the small things and the small details.
The small details.
It was a great evening. So big shout out to them. Again, they're doing so much for the culture itself, and I can't wait to see their big push more into the film side of things. You know,
into with Tyler the film Perry. Side of things. Yes. And speaking of, Tyler Perry has produced a new show mm-hmm. called The Oval that comes out this fall, and you should definitely go and check it out. I would love to see what he writes, because Madea won't be in this. The people that you normally see in his plays won't be in this. So I want to see this side of him. Mm-hmm. I wonder what he can
We've
do.
We've been getting a lot of the same stuff. You know, actually,
We've been getting a lot of the same stuff.
And stuff. I feel like he is branching out, and I feel like I've been hanging with Tyler Perry since the play.
Since the very beginning. I've Been Changed.
I'd love to see something new.
I would love to. I would love to see what he can do. So shout out to that guy also for supplying my family with laughter and hope and everything that he's left us as we watch his plays and his movies and his TV shows.
I just want to say that I have so much props for him, because I think his career is very similar to what I envision mine coming out to be. Is because he made content that was directed to the people, to the masses.
Yeah.
And now he's created so much success. Now he can actually just produce.
Branch out.
Exactly. And just actually focus on original creative content. So it's going to be amazing to see what he comes out with next. It can go either way. It can be good. It can be bad. But I'm thinking that the best is ahead of us for Tyler Perry.
And with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening to this second episode of Topic Tornado. Oh, that's what it should be called. Instead of Tornado Topic, I don't know.
What do you guys think it should be?
What do you think the name of this type of podcast should be? I really enjoy doing it. This really branches out and so many conversations in one episode.
Oh, sorry. One last shout out.
Oh, no. Go for it.
To our special guest, Kayla Cat.
Kayla Cat said that.
When we have her from now on, we should have that segment.
Kayla Cat said that. Because Kayla Cat will say anything.
That's Kayla Cat. Say that all together.
No, I don't like that. Because there's a time and a place for everything, but results may vary.
As seen on TV.
Roll us out, Rico. Roll us out.
Just might as well go ahead and say it. There's a new show on Disney Channel. It comes out on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. It's called Just Roll With It. Shout out to the phenomenal cast, Ramon Reed, Kaylin Heyman, Toby Winham, and Susie Barrett. You guys are phenomenal. It may not be for everybody, but you should definitely go and check it out. They did an amazing job recording over 20-something episodes within a four-month span. It was really hard, but these are 11-year-olds and maybe 12-year-olds, and then two adults in the whole cast. So I think this is something Disney Channel never seen before. So shout out to you guys, Trevor Moore and Adam Small, for writing this, giving Disney Channel something new, because we all know Disney Channel was going to the grave. But now it's been kind of resurrected. And I am not ashamed to say it. Nobody really watched Disney Channel but the 2-year-olds that had to. Anyway, let's wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. You know what? Actually, JL, you take us out.
Shit, I don't know your sayings. Damn.
You don't have to say mine. You're self-approved. You say what you want to say.
Oh, well, basically, if you're self-approved, go live your life. Do what you got to do. Don't care what no one thinks. Live your life. Drink a lot. Do some shit. Go to the beach. And just live your goddamn life. Bye-bye.
We out.